And welcome back to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for January 1997. I'm Fred Vobey. Just a quick reminder that if you're interested in a logbook on disc, be sure you get with Jim Snowbarger no later than the end of this year. That is the end of 1996, because we need your comments. Be sure to get with him. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Also, we'd like to ask the membership to get involved with some direction for the DX Audio Service on things that you would like to hear. We've got a lot of different books and publications in the Publication Center. It's just that we don't know if it would interest anyone. Case in point is a book called Getting Started in Medium Wave DXing, which has a lot of hints and information about listening to radio. Now, whether or not that'd be nice to put onto tape, well, we have to hear from you, the membership. If you think that that would be something you would be interested in hearing, then you need to contact the Publication Center, not only about this project, but also about any other things. If you have any suggestions to make about the DX Audio Service, be sure to contact either Ken or myself at the National Radio Club's Publication Center or here at headquarters. Hey, let's go over and talk to that white-haired guy. You know that old man up there in Findlay? Let's see. What's his name?
DXAS Markets.
Well, thank you, Fred, and Happy New Year, everybody. This is Phil for MarketScope. Tim Hendel sent along a tape of WCSV in Crossville, Tennessee. You can catch them at 1490 kilohertz with a rather interesting niche format. Traveler's information. Tim caught this on his bus ride home from the NRC convention, so here is a little bit of southern hospitality from Cumberland County, Tennessee.
They're turning back the clock the last weekend of every month this summer, rain or shine, in peaceful Pikeville in the beautiful Sequatchie Valley, the northern gateway to magnificent Fall Creek Falls State Resort.
The first radio station in Cumberland County, WAEW, signed on in 1952. WAEW is still broadcasting today at 1330 on the AM dial and is now a talk radio station with Rush Limbaugh and a host of other personalities. Cumberland County's other radio station is WXVL at 99.3 FM. WXVL programs adult contemporary music and features ABC News and the latest radar weather report at the top of each hour.
You know, driving the interstate system does get you to your destination quicker, but you do miss some great opportunities. For instance, right off I-40 at exit 322 here at Crossville is Peavine Road. Believe me, Peavine Road North is 6 miles of service and surprises. Say you're ready for a break and looking for a few hours wholesome fun. It's on Peavine at the Pirates Plateau, an absolute treasure chest of amusement, from challenging miniature golf to go-karts to bumper boats on a miniature lake.
This is Senator Annabelle O'Brien. We would like to welcome you to Cumberland County.
Well, as you travel the Cumberland Plateau, how about a story? A story about something that happened long ago, or someone who is remembered for their part in the history of the plateau and Tennessee. Here's our tourist radio tale teller, Barbara Parsons.
Welcome to Cumberland County, Tennessee, an area that is very unique in its history of the war between the states, or the Civil War as it is more commonly known. Now that we are in the war, we return to Cumberland County. When the call for volunteers first went out, Cumberland County did not yet have recruitment stations set up, so many of the local men went to other counties to volunteer. These Confederate men saw action at the battles of Murfreesboro, Shiloh, Franklin, Chickamauga, Chattanooga, Charleston, and Missionary Ridge. They were in Kentucky, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and North Carolina.
Here's a quick look at some of the I-40 exits serving Cumberland County. Exit 311 is Plateau Road. The Crossville-Jamestown exit is number 317. Genesis Road is exit 320. Peavine Road, exit 322. And exit 329 is the exit for Crab Orchard. Have a safe trip and come back to visit us again soon.
This is WCSB Crossville, a traveler's information radio station programming a unique blend of information targeted to tourists and others who are vacationing in or traveling through Cumberland County. By tuning in to 1490 AM, travelers can learn about Cumberland County's tourist attractions, shopping opportunities, restaurants, accommodations, upcoming events, weather and road conditions. If you have questions or comments about Tourist Radio 1490, you're invited to call 484-5115. Tourist Radio 1490, a great traveling companion.
Driving experts say take a break every 2 hours on long motor trips. Now, I'm no expert, but I can tell you about a great place to take a break. Crossville's exit 320 off I-40. While visiting on the plateau, get accurate time and temperature by calling 456-0001, Cumberland County's only time and temperature service, 456-0001, for accurate time and temperature 24 hours a day.
Cumberland County occupies 678 square miles on the Cumberland Plateau. The area you are now in rose out of an ancient sea about 200 million years ago. The height of the plateau ranges from 1,700 to 2,000 feet above sea level. The Crab Orchard Mountain Range, located on the eastern edge of Cumberland County, rises another 1,000 feet above the plateau. The highest point is Hinch Mountain at 3,000 feet.
Here's some interesting trivia. Crossville, Tennessee was originally called Scott's Crossroads because north, south, east, and west wilderness roads crossed here. In 1856, Cumberland County was formed from seven other Tennessee counties, and Scott's Crossroads name was changed to Crossville. Cumberland County and the Plateau were named for the Duke of Cumberland.
This is Cumberland County Sheriff Leon Tollett. I hope you enjoy your visit here, and I urge you to buckle up and drive safely. Thank you.
Travelers, check your gas gauge. The gas pumps at the Beanpot Restaurant and Country Store operate 24 hours a day.
The town of Crossville, so named because of its central location where the early travel arteries on the Cumberland Plateau and in Cumberland County intersected, and still do, has been spotlighted as one of the best American small towns. Norman Crampton, in his book, The 100 Best Small Towns in America, lists Crossville as number 63 of towns with populations ranging from 5,000 to 15,000. Crampton puts Crossville's population at the time of his research for the book at 6,930 and growing by roughly 2% annually. The author indicates housing cost, good employment opportunities, an excellent educational system and medical facility, coupled with a strong homeownership base and many churches, are the primary reasons for Crossville's inclusion in the Elite 100. Crampton surveyed all 50 states and thousands of small communities before compiling his 100 Best list. Crossville, one of the 100 best small towns in America, and another good reason for stopping for a visit here on the beautiful Cumberland Plateau. Here on the Cumberland Plateau, there's a unique resort where you might find the greatest freedom and sheer contentment you've ever known. Just off exit 311 on I-40 at Plateau Road is the Cherokee Nudist Resort, a family-oriented haven that offers rest and relaxation in a lovingly maintained sylvan setting. At Cherokee Resort, you'll find all the amenities that make for a great weekend, week, month, or entire summer. There's a large outdoor swimming pool, a magnificent hot tub in its own separate log building, tennis courts, a children's playground, a deep sand volleyball court, and nature trails that wind through the pristine beauty of the Cumberland Plateau. Cherokee Nudist Resort's centerpiece is its handsome main lodge with a well-appointed lounge and convenient restaurant serving breakfast and dinner, as well as sandwiches and snacks. Best of all, you can bring your RV, mobile home, tent if you wish, or stay in a nicely appointed log cabin, one of the lodge's two penthouse suites, or a spacious lodge room, all at very reasonable rates. There are even lots available, so you can build your home in this wholesome, caring environment and have complete privacy and security. Cherokee Nudist Resort, member of the Greater Cumberland County Chamber of Commerce, just off I-40 at exit 311 Plateau Road. An opportunity for you to share in the nudist experience. It may not be for everyone, but it just might be for you.
Well, thank you, Tim, for sending that along. This is Phil Wayne, now joining John Bowker at that deep sand volleyball court for Historical Moments in Radio. Hi, big boy.
Thanks, Phil. And now, Historical Moments in Radio, a collection of stories of the rich and exciting past on the AM radio dial. And today we're going to take a look at origins of radio broadcasting in Canada. It appears they have many of the same uncertainties about just exactly when broadcasting started that we in the U.S. do. But after some careful research I did this past summer in Edmonton, Alberta, and a review of the work by Mary Vipond of the McGill Queen's University Press, certain facts become very clear to me. For instance, there is no doubt that voice and music tests were conducted in Toronto and Montreal during 1919. And it was about that same time that some enterprising souls in Canada began to think that maybe they could manufacture and sell radios to the general public. This was based on the mail received from the public as a result of tests run during the spring of 1920. The program, the test program, consisted of, "Hello, this is a test, 1, 2, 3. And when it was necessary for the engineer to step away from the microphone, he would simply play a phonograph record. Well, the public wrote in to ask if there were some way the station could announce its times for broadcasting symphonies and other good music they'd been hearing. And this was coupled with the success being enjoyed by a local music store that where the records had come from. They had loaned them to the radio station for play on the air. It was clear that lots of people were listening to the test transmissions and were responding to the mention of that music store each time a record was played. Well, our story now focuses on Montreal, where the experimental station operated by the Marconi Company, XWA, established a schedule of musical programs on Tuesday evenings, starting in late 1920. Not only that, but on Christmas Eve 1920, XWA had a short visit from Santa Claus. Although it's very probable that few people heard his ho, ho, ho. It came in the middle of a test program, and it was on a different evening of the week from their planned schedule. But anyway, word about radio began to spread throughout the Dominion, and by the middle of 1921, the Marconi station in Toronto was also broadcasting musical concerts every Tuesday evening. The large department store, Eaton's, established a radio receiver department, and the Toronto Star newspaper got the idea that maybe radio would be useful in selling newspapers, and it sent some employees to Pittsburgh and Detroit, where radio stations seemed to be flourishing. And the reports from those cities convinced the Star to build a radio station that would stay on the air every day of the week. Now, at first, they just threw some equipment together to show their own management what they had in mind, and to their astonishment, fan letters from hundreds of miles away began pouring in. Well, it didn't take long to assemble a proper station, and the Canadian government was anxious to promote radio as a way to encourage tourism and to help get news and culture out to its residents far from urban reaches, particularly to the north of the settled centers of population. And thus, CFCA was born, licensed to the Toronto Star. By the end of 1921, and more noticeably by the spring of 1922, radio stations began appearing simultaneously in most Canadian centers. And in March of 1922, the agency in Canada that had been giving all of the licenses, the radio branch of the Department of Naval Service, decided that a new category of license should be created for these entertainment stations that had been operating under its experimental licenses. They called the newly licensed enterprises private commercial broadcasting stations, and licenses for broadcasting in Canada, therefore, can officially be traced to April 1, 1922. And the call signs they made available to the stations ranged from CFA to CKZ, followed by one more letter in each case. By the end of April of 1922, 21 licenses had been processed and were assigned frequencies ranging from 666 to 750 kilohertz. Stations owned by the Marconi Company were granted in Halifax, Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver, and they were all assigned to 440 meters, which would be about 680 on modern dials. The Montreal station was named CFCF and was the first station to be issued a license in Canada. Two other stations were granted that same month in Montreal, CJBC at 710 and CHYC at about 730 on the dial. And so, radio broadcasting was off and running throughout the provinces, and within 6 months, another 26 Canadian stations had been authorized, thus pretty well blanketing the populated sections of Canada. For Historical Moments in Radio, this is John Bowker.
It's time to take a look at our National Radio Club DX Audio Service ham list. This is a list of members of the DX Audio Service and the National Radio Club who are amateur radio operators. And we provide this list so that you can get in touch with some of your fellow hams, as well as perhaps even set a schedule up on the air with one of the members. If you have sent in information in the past, we did ask a while back to resend any information, and if you did not send it in, you were dropped from the list. So if you would like to be included in the list, you need to send it in again. Also, keep in mind when you send in information, I need your name, your call sign, and up to 40 characters of information, including spaces. If you give me more than 40, then I reserve the option to edit that down, because my database will not take any more than 40. So please keep it brief and to the point, as we say on the musings. Here's a list of the National Radio Club and DX Audio Service members that we do have. Gordon Anderson, N8CCC. He hangs out on 224.30, 442.95, 443.0, 145.49, and also 6SSB. Skip Ulrey, amateur call sign WB2GHA. He operates 10 through 80 SSB and CW, also 2-meter FM and 440 FM. Jim Baggy, WA1EDN, is primarily on 75 through 160 meters CW and SSB, and also does some 6-meter AM work. Ron Bailey, AA4S, is on 160 meters. He's also a VHF contester and member CQWW, SS, and ARRL. Clark Ballard, N6QG, is on the Army Mars station on a frequency of 4.035 at 0301 Zulu as Army Mars station AAR9CN/B. We'd like to congratulate Steve Bauer out in Wichita, Kansas, his new call sign through the Vanity program, and we have a few more Vanity calls to give you, is W0QA. And Steve, we need some information on where you hang out on the ham bands. J.W. Bay is call sign N3ULD. He's on primarily 2 and 6 meter SSB. Doug Beard, his call sign KF0VF, is on 10 through 160 meters CW and AM, also 10 through 80 SSB and 2 meter FM. John Bowker down in Tampa, Florida. His call sign is WA2WEN. He's on 10 SSB and also 10 through 80 meters. And I believe that's in CWN SSB. Mark Conley, WA1ION, is on 80 meters AM, also SSB, and 2 meter FM. Perry Crable, amateur call sign W3HQX, is on the 146.82 repeater in Winchester. Tom DiBio, amateur call sign K3DOL, is on 10 through 160 meters CW and SSB, also on 2 and 440 on FM mode. Sheldon Dunham, amateur call sign W4OEL, is on 10 through 40 CW, and he loves DX. Bob Gallerstein, amateur call sign WB2VGD, is on 10 through 80 SSB and 2 meter FM. Doug Galt, VE3ICT, is on 52525 FM and 3.880 AM. He's also a 80 meter CW operator. Bill Hale, amateur call sign N5SZC, is on 10 SSB, 2 meter FM, and 440. Tony Kikalos, I believe is the pronunciation of the name, VK8TK, is on 10 through 60 CW. Bob McCoy, N0SCE, is on 146.85 repeater and 146.76 repeater. Alan Merriman, K4GLU, is on the CW bands, on the WARC bands in CW mode. He's also on the National Radio Club Net on Wednesday and Sundays at I believe that's 8 p.m., yes, 8 p.m. on Wednesdays and Sundays, and I believe the frequency off the top of my head is 3.480. Gary Mitchell is call sign WL7WO, and he's on 40 through 160 and 30 meters CW. Tom Mulvaney, KR4BD, is on 70 centimeters all the way up to 160 meters, mostly SSB. He's also on the 224.8 repeater. Jerry Osborne, VO1GO, is on 80 CW, also 40 CW and SSB, and 2 meters. Pat Robertson, KG7HT, is on 10 through 80 SSB and CW, 2 meter FM, and 440. Robert Rowe is N5PMX, and he's on 10 through 80 CW and SSB and 2 meter FM. Andy Rugg, VA3TEE, is on the 147.180 repeater. He's also on 10 through 160 in CW and SSB. Paul W. Smith is amateur call sign KB4AZ. We have no information from Paul on where he hangs out. Congratulations to Jerry Starr, new call sign through the Vanity program. His new call sign, W8JV. And he also hangs out on the NRC net on 3840. There's the correct frequency. So you might want to go back and amend that to what I gave on Al Merriman's listing. The NRC net's on 3840 Sunday at 2000 Eastern Standard Time. Rocky Stone, amateur call sign KB0NXY, is on the 147.150 repeater. Bob Stonier, WE2Z, is on the 10 through 80 SSB and also 2 meter FM. Alphonse Tobiah is KB6KAX. He's 10 through 160 in SSB, AM, and CW. Also hangs out on 2 meters. Dan Triglio, KF6MU, is a QRP-er on the HF bands, also CW, RTTY, and is mostly into some forms of satellite. Congratulations go out to Dick Truax, our treasurer of the National Radio Club. His new call sign is K9RT. He's also on the National Radio Club net on 3840 Sundays at 2000 hours Eastern Standard Time. John Tootenham is W0JRP, and his operation modes are 10 through 80 SSB CW. He's also on 6, 2, and 1.5 and 0.75 meters in SSB. Yours truly has a call sign change. If you haven't heard already, the new call sign for myself is W8HDU, and I'm on 10 through 80 in CW. Also, I'm the trustee of the 443-625 repeater here in Lima, as well as 53.630 in Lima and 145.37 in Lima. Tom Walsh, amateur call sign K1TW. He's on the Anarch HF net, which is 7.240 kilohertz. He's also into contesting. Tandy Way, amateur call sign K4YSN. He's 6 through 160 in SSB, RTTY, AMTOR, PACTOR, and PACKET. Bruce Winkleman, AA5CO, is 40, 30, and 15 meters CW, and he's also a QRP operator. Kent Winkrich, NI9U, is HF mobile, primarily on 14.336. Jim Wiskow is amateur call sign AA9BB. He's 10 through 80 SSB, 40 CW, and also is on a net at 0100 Zulu on 3.985. And finally, Neil Zank, N0SFC, is 2 meter FM and 6 FM. And that's our amateur radio listing of National Radio Club and DX Audio Service members. Again, if you'd like to be on the list, all you have to do is send me your name, your call sign, and up to 40 characters, including spaces, of information of where you hang out.
Hello, everyone. Ken Anastruck back here with sports, and this time I'm back with the hockey, like I said I would, and through the hockey news. I got all the flagships, the stations, and the play-by-play, so here we go. The Anaheim Mighty Ducks on 95.9 KEZY with Brian Hamilton and Pat Conacher. The Boston Bruins on 1030 WBZ with Bob Neumeier and Andy Brickley. Buffalo Sabres on 550 WGR with Pete Weber and Danny Gehr. Calgary Flames on 660 CFFR with Peter Maher and Doug Barkley. Chicago Blackhawks on AM 1000 WMVP with Pat Foley and Dale Tellen. Colorado Avalanche in Denver on 950 KKFN with Mike Haynes and Norm Jones. The Dallas Stars on 820 WBAP with Ralph Strangis and Daryl Ree. The Detroit Red Wings 760 WJR with Ken Kell and Paul Woods. The Edmonton Oilers on 630 CHED with Rod Phillips and Morley Scott. The Florida Panthers, based in Miami. English on 560 WQAM with Chris Moore and Randy Mahler. And in Spanish on 1210 WCMQ with Arlie Londono and Felix DeJesus. Hartford Whalers on 1080 WTIC with Chuck Caton and Jerry McDonald. The Los Angeles Kings on Extra 690 with Nick Nixon and Mike Allison. And in Spanish on KWIZ 1480 with F. Gonzalez and R. Hernandez. Montreal Canadiens on 800 CJAD with Dick Irvine, Dick Stino Sisto, and Jim Corsi. In French on 690 CBF with Rene Pothier and Gilles Tremblay. New Jersey Devils 770 WABC with Mike Miller and Randy Velashek. The New York Islanders on FM only, 92.7 WLOR and 98.5 FM, with Barry Landers and Bob Nystrom. The New York Rangers on 660 WFAN with Marv and Ken Albert and Sal Messina. Case of a conflict with the Knickerbockers, they'll be on 1050 WEVD. The Ottawa Senators in English on 580 CFRA with Dave Schreiber and Gord Wilson. In French on 1150 CJRC with Mikhail Langevin and Mikhail Lapointe. The Philadelphia Flyers on 610 WIP with John Wiedemann and Steve Coates. The Phoenix Coyotes on 1060 KUPD2, it says here, with Kurt Kaelbach and Steve Conroyd, and 93.3 KDKB. Pittsburgh Penguins 1250 WTAE with Matt McConnell and the Color Man. And St. Louis Blues 1120 KMOX with Ron Jacober and Bernie Federko. San Jose Sharks on 610 KFRC with Ran Rasinowski and Chris Collins. The Tampa Bay Lightning on 620 WSUN with Larry Hirsch and Steve Dumig. Toronto Maple Leafs on 640 CHOG with Joe Bowen and Mark Hebscher. Vancouver's Canucks on 980 CKNW and with Jim Hewson and Tom Larscheid. And the Washington Capitals on 570 WTEM with Ron Weber and Joe Beninati. Now, I also know that the Washington Bullets of the NBA are on 570 WTM, so I don't know what the background station would be, and we'd appreciate if someone would let us know some way. And if time permits here with Fred, I'll put on a couple more hockey leagues here quickly. International Hockey League, Chicago Wolves on 92.7 WCBR and 96.7 WLLI in Joliet with Judd Surratt. Cincinnati Cyclones on 1530 WSAI with Andy McWilliams, Mike Barrick, and Bill Davich, home only. Cleveland Lumberjacks on 1220 WKNR with Tim Saunders and a backup 1300 WERE. Detroit Vipers on 1130 WDFN with John Ollers and Robbie Bobby J. The Fort Wayne Comets on 1190 AM and 103.1 FM. Whoa, Fort Wayne, Bob Chase and Robbie Irons there. The Grand Rapids, Michigan, has the Griffins have no station listed, but their play-by-play man is Rich Kincaid. The Houston Aeros on 106.9 KKHT with Adam Gordon and Troy Gamble. Indianapolis Ice on 1430 WMYS with Ken Double. Kansas City Blades on 980 KMBZ with Bob Kaser and Don Fortune for home games. In a conflict, they go to 1490 KTOP. Las Vegas Thunder on 1460 KENO. Manitoba Moose out of Winnipeg on 680 CJOB with Kelly Moore and Ted Irvine. Michigan Wings on 98.5 WNWN out of Coldwater. Milwaukee Admirals on 1130 WISN with Doug Pettit. Phoenix Roadrunners on 740 KIDR. San Francisco Spiders on 90.3 KUSF with Kevin Gallant. Utah Grizzlies on 860 KAPN with Dave Rex Casino, the Color Man. American Hockey League. Adirondack Red Wings 93.5 WZZM, Albany River Rats 980 WTRY with John Hennessy, Baltimore Bandits 1230 WITH with Andy Davis and 970 WAMD, Binghamton Rangers 1430 WENE with Bob Crawford, Cape Breton Oilers 94.9 CKPE with Paul McDonald, Carolina Monarchs on 1400 WKEW and 920 WBBB, Cornwall Aces 92.1 CHOD with Mario Albi and Francois Cote, Hershey Bears on 92.1 WCTX with Dave Michigan and 1270 WLBR, Portland Pirates 1440 WLPZ in a six-station network, Providence Bruins on 630 WPRO, Rochester Americans on 990 WCMF with Don Stevens and John Mednarski, and 90.5 WBER. St. John Flames, 930 CFBC with Andy Wilson. St. John's Maple Leafs, 590 VOCM with Brian Rogers. Springfield Falcons, 640 WNNZ with Don Orsio and 90.7 WTCC. Syracuse Crunch, 620 WHEN with Joel Stern. Worcester Ice Cats on 580 WTAG. Eastcast Hockey League will finish this. Birmingham Bulls, 690 WJOX with Chris Kerber. Charlotte Checkers and 610 WFNZ. The Columbus Chill on 920 WMNI, Dayton Bombers on 101.5 WCWT and 1550 WDCR, Hampton Road Admirals 790 WTAR, Huntington Blizzard 930 WRVC in West Virginia with Glenn Norman and a small network, Jacksonville Lumber Kings on 1460 WZNZ, Johnstown Chiefs 850 WJAC and 1330 WADJ, Knoxville Cherokees 99.1 WNOX with Jamie Smott, Peoria Rivermen have moved to San Antonio with no station I see here, Raleigh Ice Caps 850 WRBZ with Andy Young and Rick Barkovich, Richmond Renegades 93.1 WDYL, the Roanoke Express 960 WFIR with Tim Woodburn, Backup 910 WWIR, Carolina Stingray 98.9 WWBZ in South Carolina with Randy Page, Tallahassee T-Sharks 104.9 WMLO with Kyle Schultz and a Color Man, Toledo Storm on 93.5 WRQN with Mark Kelly, and finally, the Wheeling West Virginia Nailers on 98.7 WOVK with Bill McLaughlin. Enjoy all the games on the radio. So long, everyone.
DXCPC.
It's time for our CBC test calendar on the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. Let's take a look at what we have. KPOF in Denver, Colorado on 910 kilohertz will test on December the 21st from 0200 to 0230. Let's hope that Wayne Heinen can log this one from suburban Aurora. WWCN in North Fort Myers, Florida, on a frequency of 770, will conduct a DX test. They tested back on the 8th and the 15th. This is test number 3 on December the 22nd from 0300 to 0400. And test number 4 will be on December the 29th from 0300 to 0400. Here's a chance to hear a rare one for your log, KIYU in Galena, Alaska. They'll conduct a DX test on 910 kilohertz on December the 29th from 0500 to 0530. Now keep in mind that this is Eastern Standard Time. KJSL in St. Louis, Missouri will be testing on a frequency of 630 kilohertz. This test will be on December the 30th from 0300 to 0330. KSTN in Stockton, California on 1420 kilohertz will test on New Year's night, January 1st from 0300 to 0800 Eastern Local Time. KXNO in North Las Vegas, Nevada will test on 1140 kilohertz on January the 4th from 0300 to 0330. Test number 5 from WWCN will be on January the 4th from 0300 to 0400. Now keep in mind that WWCN is on 770 kHz from North Fort Myers, Florida. Our first Canadian test for 1997 will be from CFGO in Ottawa, Ontario on a frequency of 1200 kHz on January the 6th from 0300 to 0400. CFGO operates 50,000 watts day and night with a U4 pattern and should be a good catch. KEZM in Sulphur, Louisiana, on a frequency of 1310 will conduct a DX test. This one will be on January the 11th from 0100 to 0130. Time now to snag that rare three-letter call. KPQ in Wenatchee, Washington, on a frequency of 560 kHz, will test on January the 11th from 0300 to 0400. Again, that's Eastern Standard Time. Test number 6 from WWCN will be on January the 12th from 0300 to 0400. WAKK in Macomb, Mississippi will test on a frequency of 1140 kHz on January the 13th from 0130 to 0200. Also on January the 13th, WAPF in Macomb, Mississippi will test on 980 kHz on January the 13th from 0200 to 0230. Test number 7 from WWCN in North Fort Myers, Florida on 770 kHz will be on January the 19th from 0300 to 0400. And then finally, the last test from WWCN will be on January the 26th, this one from 0300 to 0400. And that's our CPC test for this edition of the DX Audio Service.
Musings from members by phone.
The DX Audio Service Musings from Members. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views of the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, the editors, or publishers.
If you're DXAS subscribed, you can call our comment line at 419-224-1609.
You have 45 seconds.
How you doing, Fred? Since I discovered a TIS station at 590 in New York City for the New Jersey Turnpike, I just wanted to ask, are they subject to the same rules as other radio stations when it comes to the idea of what you have to identify yourself as?
This is Tim Handel in Huntsville reporting a format change. 810 WAPB in Murfreesboro, Tennessee has dropped sports talk in favor of Music of Your Life. Also, the saga of Chuck Harder of the People's Radio Network, now it's United Broadcasting Network. Evidently, Chuck had a falling out with the network and even was suing them. For a while, WAJF in Decatur, Alabama, 1490, was cutting away from UBN and carrying Chuck in the afternoons, while WNSI in Jacksonville, Alabama, on 810, stayed with UBN. Now they're not carrying Chuck anymore in Decatur. They're back with UBN. I heard Chuck offering some kind of a printout that would tell his side of the story, or as he put it, the entire story of what happened. I never got the address to send for that Chuck Harder printout of his side of the story of what happened to him. If anybody knows more, or if anyone has that material and can share it with me, leave a muse on the audio service and I'll get in touch with you.
Jay Spell from Nashville, Tennessee, calling from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Early Monday, December 2, just had a chance to play November DXAS. Congratulations, Fred, on the award at the convention. It could not be more deserved. It could not have been more deserved. I would like to say that I seriously feel that those of us who are blind and who do not have access to the information that DXAS contains owe you and everyone involved in the magazine a tremendous debt of gratitude. Everyone does a fine job. I listen for information, not for presentation. But even so, the presentation could not be better. It's top-notch on everyone's part. Thank you very much, Fred. I was fortunate enough to have been made aware of the existence of the magazine shortly before it started. Thank you, Frank Merrill. Consider myself very fortunate. Keep up the fine work, Fred. It is much appreciated, and congratulations.
Hi, Mike Dukin calling with some format changes here in the Great Northwest on Thursday morning, December the 5th. First of all, in my local area, WNBI AM in Park Falls, Wisconsin on 980 has switched satellite formats. For quite a while, they've been running the Satellite Music Network's Big Band and Adult Standards format. But I noticed that last weekend they have switched. They are now running the SMN's Pure Gold format, although I think they're calling it Oldies Radio, as the station and a few stations that I've heard that are running the same format are calling themselves. And also I'd like to mention that KQRS AM in Golden Valley, Minnesota, suburban Twin Cities, has changed their formats on 1440. They are now running the new children's radio format, Radio Disney, from their parent company, ABC Disney. And I guess that Minneapolis is one of the test markets that they are testing the format on. And I hope that everybody in the audio service has a happy holiday season, whether it's Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and a happy winter solstice. Hi, Mike Dukin with a color and format change I forgot to mention before. WMVN in Ishpeming, Michigan, which is near Marquette in the Upper Peninsula, which was running a Christian rock format for years, has changed their call letters to WZAM, and they're running the Associated Press news feed, and they're still a daytime station. They go off at 4:30 our time, and they call themselves All News All Day. I just thought I'd mention that.
Hi, Jim Snowberger here. Hey, it's a great year for propagation. Don't know if you've noticed or not, but I'm getting a lot of good signals, especially from the western states, several stations that I haven't even gotten before. And a pretty good, almost listenable signal from KXBT in Vallejo, California, 1630. Perhaps we'll have some examples in my next band scan. And speaking of that, might be that since conditions are that good, it's your year to do a band scan, too.
Hi, everybody. This is Gene Rashi in Somerville. Somerville, Massachusetts. I've heard some news this morning which says that WBNW 590 on the AM dial, which is part of the news network. Now, on Sunday, the 15th of this month, December, will go Christian radio. I don't know what the call letters will be, but they are going full-time Christian radio. This is Gene Rashi with an update on the call I made on December 10th concerning the radio change in Boston, where WBNW, as of midnight tonight, which is Sunday the 15th, the WBNW will become WEZE, which was formerly at 1260 on the AM dial here in Boston. It was a religious station, and now WBNW will become a Christian station.
This is Deb called back from Des Moines, Iowa. 940, formerly KIOA, has changed its call letters to KXTX, and it's a shock talk station now. They have Bell on during the night. They have Jay Gordon Liddy competing with Rush Limbaugh on WHO. They have Howard Stern and Laura Schlesinger, and they even have a sex talk show. 73's Good DX.
Yeah, this is Jim Snowbarger. By now you've probably already heard that KIOA in Des Moines is no more. That station came on the air in 1948, and their 10-kilowatt signal on 940 covered the entire state. At night, they're 5 kilowatts directional to the northwest. They were the big rocker in Iowa for 40 years or more, and I grew up listening to KIOA 940. In the late 80s, they started playing oldies, the music that made them famous. In the early 90s, the FM joined the party, and they changed the slogan to Oldies 93.3. And now on 940, you hear KXTK, stimulating talk radio. Late evenings, they're carrying Dr. Joy Brown, and it's Art Bell overnight at Imus in the morning. It's the I-Man's Iowa debut. It'll be interesting to see how Iowa responds to that New York-centric format. I'll let you know.
Well, to Jim, Han, Deb out there in Iowa, and all those who have listened to KIOA when they were that once great rocker, here's a final remembrance of a great radio station.
Capital City, K-I-O-A.
And that's our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service.
This is John Belker.
And I'm Fred Bobie.
And this is the DX Time Machine.
DX Time Machine.
From the pages of DX News 50 years ago, from the December 14th, 1946 DX News, editor Ernie Cooper reported that ZBM 1240 in Bermuda broadcast a daily record program from 5 to 5:30 in the morning for listeners on the eastern seaboard of the United States.
And from the December 7th, 1946 DX News magazine, Ernie Cooper caught WPBP 1450 in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico, testing with RCA in Riverhead, New York on December 2nd from 4:30 to 5 a.m. The program consisted of Latin America music.
25 years ago, from the December 18th, 1971 DX News, and a DX News, by the way, was a 60-pager, the second ever published. Included in it was an article on understanding station procedures, penned by Jerry Starr.
Also from 25 years ago, from the December 11th, 1971 DX News magazine, Ernie Cooper ID'd a tester on 1,000 kilohertz as WKBQ from Gardner, New York, a 250-watt daytimer.
10 years ago, from the December 15th, 1986 DX News, Greg Hardison announced the third annual Ray Breen KABC ABC Talk Radio DX Special for January 10th.
And from the December 8th, 1986 DX News Magazine, WHOT 1630, Brooklyn, New York, aired a weird Halloween program on 1031 and was heard by Kermit Gary from Walnutsport, Pennsylvania, from 2220 to 2330 Eastern Time. And obviously, WHOT 1630 was a pirate.
And that's our DX Time Machine. This is John Bowker.
And that's our edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for January 1997. As I always say, get out there and support radio. You can support it simply by letting us know exactly what you'd like to see on the magazine in future editions. Be sure to contact either Ken or myself here at the DX Audio Service or at the Pub Center. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
77 music, WABC.